Hi, my name is Sue. For those of you who may not know me, I want to welcome you to our service today at Harbor. If this is your first time joining us virtually, welcome. To all the familiar faces, it's good to see you and it's good to be seen. I miss seeing everyone in person so much. I want to wish all the moms or those in a motherly role a happy Mother's Day. I know it's not the traditional day that you're probably used to. It may be through a glass window, or if you're lucky enough in person, a Zoom call. I hope you're able to connect with your loved ones. Harbor of Hope is partnering with Table of Plenty for the month of May. Table of Plenty is a nonprofit in Chelmsford that in non-COVID times serves a hot meal once a week to those in need of food, socialization. And since they can't be doing that in person right now, they are taking up collections of food to deliver to nearly 50 families here in Chelmsford and North Chelmsford, families, veterans, and senior citizens. If you're able, when you're food shopping this week and can put in an extra box of pancake or syrup or peas and carrots, anything helps the cause. We so appreciate it. It can be dropped off at the Harrington School on Richardson Road on Wednesdays from 9 to 12. For those of you looking to connect with others, it's not too late to join a Zoom Journey group. Multiple groups and times are available. For more info, head to our website at harboroofhope.org. And one last update. If you would like to sponsor a child from our sister community in the Dominican Republic, there are children needing to be sponsored. For more information, you can also find that on our website or email us at global@harboroofhope.org, and Megan will be back in touch with you shortly. Thank you. Stay safe.
We have been in this new season of life for about 2 months. 2 months of draining work, 2 months of homeschooling, 2 months of self-isolating, 2 months of Netflix, and most importantly, 2 months of snacking. As I've been snacking for the past 2 months, I've learned something very important about myself. If I'm given the choice between snacking on something sweet or something salty, I will choose salty 9 times out of 10. Sure, I can have a sweet tooth, but I much prefer chips, Cheez-Its, goldfish, and popcorn over cookies, cake, and brownies. Because let's be honest, salty stuff is so good. The reality is these snacks are only so good because they have salt on them. Imagine having potato chips without salt. That's just thin, crispy potatoes. Or if you've ever had unsalted butter or unsalted sunflower seeds, it's just not as good. Even sweets. Have you ever had a batch of cookies from a friend who forgot to put salt in them? They're gross. Because salt is such an important ingredient to how we snack and how we eat. Salt is the thing in food that makes people say, guys, you gotta try this. Salt is so important for adding flavor to our food. It enhances the flavor of what we eat, and it brings out the natural flavor of the food it's put on. But salt holds even more significance than that. And maybe you've heard this before, but in ancient Israel, salt was absolutely essential. Salt is a preservative, which means it keeps food in its original state without decaying. And in our 21st century home, we take this for granted. You know, we have refrigerators and freezers that keep our food from spoiling, but in the desert climate of first century Israel, they didn't have such luxuries. They relied on salt to keep their food from going bad. Salt didn't just represent flavor to them. It didn't just represent delighting in food. It represented life. It represented being able to feed your family, to sustain your family for days or weeks at a time because you're storing meat and other foods during the lean seasons. So you don't have to forage every day. Salt was sustainability. Salt it can serve many purposes. It was used as an antiseptic, as a purifier, as a preservative, and as a flavor. Because of its rich diversity, salt in the ancient world was understood to represent hospitality and friendship, because what it was used for was everything used in hospitality. And so salt was this overarching symbol for friendship, because salt's function represents the function of relationships. It represents permanence and loyalty and durability and fidelity and usefulness and value, especially in relationships. In ancient Israel and in this ancient Near East culture, when people ate together and became friends, they would keep salt in the middle of the table, not just for their food, but to represent faithful, enduring relationship. And ancient Arabic expression, there's an ancient Arabic expression that says, "There is salt between us," which to a young person today, that would sound like someone salty at you, and that means they're angry at you. But in the Bible times, it meant just the opposite. Salt was used to represent cemented friendship. And so throughout the Old Testament, salt is used as a symbol of relationship. And God used salt as one of his primary symbols for relationship with his people. In Leviticus, one of the laws is that salt must be added to sacrifices. When sacrifices are made to God, they should have salt added to them. And when God made covenants with his people, he made promises with his people to demonstrate his undying faithfulness to them. And he called these covenants of salt. And so the Old Testament is full of salt metaphor to understand God's relationship with his people. And that's great for the Old Testament, but what about the New Testament? Because Jesus came down to earth to show us the true nature of God. And he set up an everlasting covenant with us. And so if God's covenants with us are covenants of salt that perpetually remind us of God's goodness and love, what is the salt in this covenant? What is the salt in the new covenant that Jesus set up with us? Well, Jesus tells us in Matthew 5, during the Sermon on the Mount, which is his longest recorded sermon in Scripture, Jesus is preaching to a large crowd on the side of a mountain, and he tells them this: "You are the salt of the earth." He goes on and says, "But what good is salt if it loses its saltiness? Can it be made salty again? It will be thrown out and trampled underfoot as worthless." You know, Jesus goes on to give another metaphor. He says that we are also the light of the world, there's a lot to go into there. But since salt was the first thing that he said in the Sermon on the Mount, the first and primary metaphor he used to represent God's relationship with us and God's relationship with the world, I want to focus here. The covenant of salt that God has with us, this reminder to the world that God is in relationship with us and God is sustaining, maintaining, enhancing, purifying and healing us, is you. You are the salt of the earth. Jesus says that it's our responsibility to share with the world the goodness of our God. That's good news. You know, once we know God's grace and once we know God's love, we are the ones that get to represent that with all of his creation. We get to embody love. We get to be the ones saying to the world, "Guys, you got to try this." That is good news. That not only are we welcomed into God's plan, but we are an essential part of divine love being spread to the ends of the earth. But there is a bit of a catch. Because the thing Jesus says after saying you are the salt of the earth, after he tells us our place in the new covenant, is this question: if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? The thing is, salt by its very nature cannot lose saltiness. Salt is chemically the same substance, whether it's a large salt rock or if it's a single molecule of sodium chloride. The only way salt can lose its saltiness is if it becomes watered down and diluted. When salt is watered down, it loses potency. It loses its purpose. It's no longer able to be used for flavor or preservation. Diluted salt, then, would represent watered down and diluted and unsustained relationship. When we lose our saltiness, when we've become diluted, we are no less children of God. We are still in our essence the same, but our saltiness is diluted. Our connection to our purpose is watered down, uninspired, and less potent. What does that mean? What does that mean for us to lose our saltiness? What does that look like? It can look like a lot of different things. Maybe losing your saltiness looks like you're avoiding spending time alone with God, not maintaining your spiritual connection with the divine. Maybe it looks like having less fervor for what we're doing here. You're less excited for church or community, and you're here out of obligation or habit, but you're just not feeling it anymore. Maybe it's that you don't feel like inviting people to join you at church anymore. Maybe it's that you notice yourself becoming less loving, more irritable, and generally less in tune with embodying love the way that you once did when you were salty and the Spirit was flowing through you and love was flowing out of you. No longer confident in who you are and no longer confidently reminding everyone else that they are beloved children of God. And maybe, if you're being honest, you're like this right now. And I'd be lying if I said I wasn't like this right now as well. Because we are in a really, really tough time. We are 2 months into a time where we are separated, where we need to be careful about where we go and what we do and who we interact with and how we interact with the world. And life as we once knew it has ended. And I'm really sorry if you haven't heard the news already, but this past week, Amy Chaney and Allie Moran stepped down from their roles at Harbor, which is a loss to the community that we feel very deeply. And it adds to this level of uncertainty, of asking, where is God in all of this? What is he doing? When are things going to get easier? Because our world is sad and heavy. To say the very least, our relationships are strained and breaking. I've seen more social media arguments this past week than I have in a long time. The weight of the difficulties we are facing seem to be getting heavier and heavier. And when that happens, it's easy to lose our saltiness. It's easy to feel disconnected from God and his mission because it doesn't look like his favor is on us any longer, and we lose sight of our purpose in the world. So if we want to remain salt to the world, we have to remain salty ourselves. But that means in order to be conduits of relationship with God to the world, we must remain in connected relationship with God ourselves. So how can we remain salty, my friends? How can we keep the saltiness of our relationship with God alive? How can we sustain our connection to the divine, to remember his faithful love, to be purified and to have our relationship with God enhanced? What is the salt that keeps us salty to the world in this world where we're stuck at home and our plans are canceled and we can't dream or see a light at the end of this tunnel? How can we come back to God to have our spiritual relationship sustained and enhanced? Scripture. Yes, it sounds cheesy. It sounds trite. It sounds too easy. It sounds a little too Christian-y, but it's true. Because Scripture is where we get the salt in our relationship with God. It's where we come back to knowing who God is and remembering that God has a much bigger plan than we can see right now from our vantage point. Yes, we can still hear God when we pray, and we know that God is alive and active in our world, but the primary way that we can keep up our relationship with the divine is by reading the word that was inspired by him. By reading Scripture and staying in the Word, we can stay connected to the character of God and understand God's mission in the world, which is to show his unending, never-failing love to all people. He's the guy that translated the Bible for the Message translation. He wrote another book called Eat This Book, which is a large part of the inspiration for this series about devouring scripture and taking it in as if we are eating it. And the first metaphor he uses in the book is eating scripture like a dog gnaws on a bone, trying to get every single bit of flavor and nutrient from it, savoring it, getting every benefit out of it from pure enjoyment. And this is how we should be reading scripture. Because it is salty, we want to get every bit of nutrient from it, every bit of enjoyment and sustenance and life from it. Scripture enhances our relationship with God. Scripture preserves our relationship with God, and Scripture keeps us in relationship with God. So as you devour Scripture, come back to it daily, savor it, soak it up. Let it preserve your faith. Let it enhance your faith and glean new things from it. Let it purify you and sustain you and remind you of God's faithfulness. And let it be central to your relationship with God. Let Scripture be life. The challenge is when we get here, a lot of the time people unintentionally make Scripture an idol. They make Scripture God himself, which I think is limiting to God's nature, because God can't be limited to just Scripture. God is much bigger than that. Scripture is not God. It can't be God. But Scripture is a conduit for our relationship with God. The same way salt brings out the flavor of the substance it's on, Scripture brings out the nature of God. It allows us to be more connected to him so we can know his heart and be in true relationship with him. And when we are in it, we can be made salty and share his love with the world. This is a whole series on reading scripture, on taking it in like food. And every sermon has had really good advice as to how to read scripture and how to get value from it the way that we get value from food. So I'm not going to dive into too many specifics, but I do have two pieces of advice for jumping into scripture. One way to get scripture into our hearts, to allow it to be salt to our relationship with God, is meditation. And Harbor's been releasing meditations after every sermon on Wednesdays. The first week we did Lectio Divina, which is reading scripture three times and meditating on a passage. Last week we read a verse over and over again and emphasized one different word. And this week we're going to read a verse of scripture over and over again, taking away one word at a time and meditating on each word. But when we do this, when we meditate in scripture, it takes reading the Bible from being head knowledge and study and obligation, and it turns it into a conversation where we are putting the word of God into our hearts and allowing the Holy Spirit to speak into it and speak life into it. This practice sustains our relationship with God and enhances it because it makes scripture a conversation. My other piece of advice for reading scripture, for allowing it to be salt to sustain and enhance your relationship with God, is to stay curious. Because the Bible has a lot of weird things in it, a lot of really challenging and difficult things in it that in our 21st century minds, we don't really understand it without looking into it or studying it more deeply. So my advice is stay curious. When you come across these hard and confusing parts of scripture that make you question God's character, or things seem weird based on our culture, don't walk away. Any good relationship involves some conflict, and conflict leads to exploration and then resolution. And the same is true in our relationship with God. By entering into those difficult passages and exploring them and finding answers, you allow scripture to inform and enhance your relationship with God. Richard Rohr says that struggle is what brings humans into true consciousness. When we have these easy one-sentence answers, we are not fully conscious, but this struggle to find the truth, the struggle with scripture, is indeed part of the salt that enhances our relationship with God. Because salt is relationship. No, scripture is not the whole of our relationship with God, but it is the salt. It allows us to have relationship with him. It allows us to preserve our relationship with God as well as to enhance it. And when we are salty, it allows us to authentically say to others, guys, you got to try this. Let's pray. God, thank you so much for bringing us here to worship you today. I pray that you speak to us today, that you give us peace, you give us your light and life and hope, you give us health. God, I pray that you inspire us when we read scripture, that you speak to us, that you open up our hearts to hearing your word and understanding your character and being open to being part of your plan on this earth, God. Even when it's hard, even when life is hard, I pray that you remind us of your presence and your purpose. And remind us of your love every day so we can go out confidently sharing with others that they are also beloved children of God. We love you. We pray this all in your precious and holy name. Amen.
Amen. Well, we are going to be heading into a time of communion, a time where we can turn our focus collectively to our all-faithful, all-knowing, all-powerful Savior. As we have been practicing the last few weeks, let's slow down. Let's take this time to reflect on God's word. Just as we add seasoning and salt to our meals, as we marinate our physical food, let's also sit together in his word, allowing it to seep in, savoring it, and ultimately allowing it to change the flavor of our hearts to be more like Jesus. Today, I would like to point us to a passage in Luke chapter 22, where Jesus and the disciples have their Last Supper. Jesus divinely arranges a special place called the upper room, where he and the disciples can partake in the Passover dinner. The disciples didn't realize that they would soon find themselves gathered together again just days later in a locked, secret room, not unlike the upper room. But that next time, it would be because of fear and anxiety of having just seen Jesus crucified. This space that Jesus prepares for them to celebrate their Last Supper, reclining comfortably together, will soon become a space where they experience uneasiness and where they will have the choice to remember Jesus' words and trust him. In order to move past their fear and sorrow, the disciples needed to believe that he is faithful to do what he says he will. When you are faced with fear and uncertainty, will you choose to trust his word? If you have some food and a drink and would like to remember Jesus, remembering his true word, remembering how loyal he is to you and me, please join us as we partake together. Take a deep breath, close your eyes, and listen to his word. Luke 22, verses 8 through 20. Jesus sent Peter and John, saying, "Go and make preparations for us to eat the Passover." "Where do you want us to prepare for it?" they asked. He replied, "As you enter the city, a man carrying a jar of water will meet you. Follow him to the house that he enters, and say to the owner of the house, 'The teacher asks, where is the guest room where I may eat the Passover with my disciples?' He will show you a large room upstairs, all furnished. Make preparations there." When the hour came, Jesus and his apostles reclined at the table, and he said to them, "I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it again until it finds fulfillment in the kingdom of God." He took the bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after the supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you." Let's partake together. The bread. And the cup. Now I invite you to close your eyes and listen one last time as I read these verses again. Jesus sent Peter and John, saying, "Go and make preparations for us to eat the Passover." "Where do you want us to prepare for it?" they asked. He replied, "As you enter the city, a man carrying a jar of water will meet you. Follow him to the house that he enters and say to the owner of the house, 'The teacher asks, where is the guest room where I may eat the Passover with my disciples?' He will show you a large room upstairs, all furnished. Make preparations there." When the hour came, Jesus and his apostles reclined at the table, and he said to them, "I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it again until it finds fulfillment in the kingdom of God." He took the bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after the supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you."
Amen. Thanks, Nate, for just sharing those beautiful verses with us. And thank you, Jeff, for your words on being the salt of this earth and just how important that is to focus on what that salt can preserve and enhance. How are you using that in your life? How are you preserving? How are you enhancing? How are you using the Word of God? Just take that with you into the week. We thank you for coming today. We're so glad that you joined us for this service. As you are heading out this week, just a few reminders that Sue touched on. First thing, we still have availability for journey groups. You can still sign up if you're missing community. If these Zoom meets have been refreshing for you, don't hesitate to sign up for a journey group this week. Table of Plenty. More than ever, we need to pull together as a village. Make sure that if you can, just grab a can of soup, can of peanut butter or sun butter or jelly or whatever, and drop it off at the Harrington School in North Chelmsford between 9 and 12 on Wednesdays, the whole month of May. We need each other. And just head on out into the week. Take all of this with you. Remember to be kind to one another and join us next week. Thanks, guys. Amen. Just a short prayer. God, thank you for bringing us together in this community on Zoom today. Thank you for just reminding us that even though we are not physically together, we can still be together, either over Zoom or on phone calls, through windows, through doors. We just pray that you can help us to come together as a community to support Table of Plenty, that you can move us in our journey groups to become closer to you, and that we can just pull together through this crazy time. We love you. Thank you, God. Amen. And enjoy your week, Harbor.